Hello, and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And this week, I have in the studio a local of Telluride, and his name is Alan Bradbury. Actually, Alan is a longtime resident of Telluride, and he lives half the year in Telluride and the other half in Hawaii. And there he has created a marvelous botanical paradise called Garden of Eden, and that's along the Hana Highway. And we're going to be chatting about that the first half of the show. And then the second half of the show, we are going to talk about what Alan is creating here in Telluride. And that's a place called Utopia, and another wonderful trail system. And we're going to hear all about that in the second half of the show. I would like to welcome Alan Bradbury to Travel Fun. Hi, Alan.
Hey, nice to be here. Nice warm aloha to y'all.
Oh, thank you. I like that. I instantly feel as though I'm in Hawaii. I only went to Hawaii once. I went to Maui, and I just found it to be a beautiful place. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say. I did not make it to the Hana Highway, which is apparently the highlight of Maui, if not all of Hawaii.
Well, different strokes for different folks. But for me, I like the jungle. I like the greenery. I like the lush forest. I like the oxygen.
Talk about what you have created at Garden of Eden. It is called Maui Botanical Gardens and Arboretum.
No, excuse me.
Oh, did I mispronounce?
Yeah, it's the Garden of Eden Arboretum.
Arboretum.
Right.
And
right.
I said Arboretum.
Well, I'm not sure what you said. I'm not sure it was right, though.
Okay.
No, Garden of Eden Arboretum and Botanical Garden is what it says on our brochure.
Okay. And you have 26 acres of trails there.
That's correct.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And in Hawaii, it's a lot. Here, it's manageable. There, it's a feat. You have a 12-month growing season, so nothing really stops growing. So for maintenance purposes, you got to be on your toes all the time. There are seasons in Hawaii. A lot of people don't realize that. Take the grass, for example. We cut the grass every 3 days during the summer months. And in the winter, we could wait up to 10 days between cuttings. So there is a bit of a dormancy. And certain trees actually are deciduous over there, and they will lose their leaves. But by the time the last leaf falls, new ones are already establishing. So a lot of people don't really see the seasons unless you're sensitive to it.
I think it's important to say that you are the person that created these gardens. You set out in 1991.
Exactly. Yeah, well, the story goes like this. I had been living in Telluride since 1975. And, of course, the off-seasons get to you after a while. So I started visiting friends over there during the off-seasons. And eventually, I ended up having a child over there, and that sort of changed my perspective. And I couldn't get my daughter's mom to move over here, and so I moved over there. I sold half the land I had up on Hastings Mesa, which gave me the initial funding to buy this 27-acre parcel on Maui. And when I bought it, it was jungle. It was thick, dense jungle. You could hear the ocean, but you couldn't see it. You could hear the waterfalls, but you couldn't see them. It was just jungle, overgrown invasive species growth. And so one day at a time, chainsaw, bulldozer, help from my friends, we cleared and replanted and turned it into the second most visited botanical garden in the state of Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good.
You shared with me earlier that as a kid, you liked to cut trails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know where that all came from, but I grew up on a lake in Michigan, and there was an association beach lot, and it was just gnarly brambles and, you know, blackberries and brush, and nobody ever used it. And so during the summer months, I would go down there and just little by little prune and trim and cut trail, and it became a work of art, so I'm told. And that was the first time I realized that I really loved doing that kind of thing. And there were 16 lots in this little subdivision we were in, and I ended up landscaping all 16 of the properties there. And so from that point on, it became a major interest of mine, that and, you know, growing food. And in 1991, I became a certified arborist as well. I was the first one on the Western Slope and the first certified arborist on Maui. And trees became my passion at that point. And I used to tell people, I used to almost get in car crashes looking at girls, but now it's the trees that I'm looking at.
And what does one have to do to become a certified arborist?
Well, there's it's International Society of Arboriculture is the certifying organization, and you need to pass a very extensive exam. And that involves a lot of reading materials, some classes. They actually teach it in most colleges now. I did it more freelance. I just sort of knew what I needed to know for the exam, and then you get trial tests, and you study hard, you highlight everything you think you're going to need, and you pass that test. And I had a 97%, the highest in the group of 370 people who took the test in Honolulu.
So put me there. Put me there in the Garden of Eden. Walk me through it.
Okay.
It already feels lush.
Let me say this. When I first arrived on Maui, I guess it was about 1978, on my first visit, I remember feeling really disappointed. I went, this isn't what I saw on, the Travel Channel, if there was such a thing back then. You had this, you know, vision of this Polynesian paradise. And when I got there, it was mostly the same few plants used in every domestic landscape. And the hotels were, you know, quite beautiful, but overly manicured. And it didn't feel natural to me at all. And then everything else was just overgrown invasive species jungle. And so what I did with the Garden of Eden was more or less created the vision that I had prior to my first visit to Hawaii. And I'm not a purist. I don't plant anything that's invasive, but I'll plant anything that grows. And it's one of the most multicultural places on Earth, Hawaii is. And all those different cultures brought their favorite plants with them, starting with the original Polynesians, who brought their 22 Polynesian-introduced plant species, which are now basically almost considered natives for, you know, purposes of landscaping on state and county properties. But it's the Garden of Eden. Okay, so You're driving along the Hana Highway, which is 52 miles of windy, curvy road, a lot of blind corners, but mostly what you're seeing is invasive species jungle.
And now let me just ask, the Hana Highway overlooks the ocean.
Well, the Hana Highway goes through deep, dark jungle and cliff precipices mm-hmm. over the ocean, so you've got a real mixed bag. But back in the 1930s, and so a lot of the hardwoods, the sandalwoods and koas, most of that was either logged or burnt out and replaced with eucalyptus, because the sugarcane companies needed fuel for their sugarcane mills, and they wanted a fast-growing, reproducing tree, and so they planted eucalyptus, which is basically indigenous to Australia. And so it's taken over the island. But the Hana Highway, it's a beautiful drive. And to the untrained eye, I guess it looks really gorgeous. But I'm seeing all this invasive, you know, plant growth. So anyways, we're halfway between the Kahului Airport and the town of Hana itself. We're 26 miles each direction. And so you're driving along, you're going around all these corners. We're in the particularly most windy portion of the whole Hana Highway. And it's kind of nerve-wracking for a city driver anyways. But you come around a corner, and there's our entry, the Garden of Eden Arboretum. And the moment you pull in the gate, it does. It looks like the most beautiful tropical paradise you could imagine. All the coconut palms. Well, in the first 100 yards of driving in our gate, there's probably 20 palm species. Bamboos, wonderful different varieties of bamboos. And then all the different fruits start right there at the entry and go all the way through the different property. We have all the Amazon fruits, the South American rainforest, hardwoods, ebonies, koa, rosewood, just so many beautiful, beautiful native species to some of these other countries do very, very well in Hawaii. We're 22 degrees north latitude, which is an ideal growing condition. We're right on that dividing line between tropic and subtropic. So we can grow a lot of things that won't grow equatorial, and yet we can still grow almost everything that will grow on the equator. So it's very lush, very tropical. But as you come into the park, you're greeted by one of our lovely gatekeepers, and they explain what the garden is all about. And at that point, you get a brochure which has a self-guided trail map. And people come in and spend anywhere between, a half an hour to 3 hours. It's impossible to see the whole park in any one single visit. There's just too much. It's approximately 2 miles of walking trails. And then you can get off the trails and get into some of the other little secret zones that we have as well. So it's a beautiful property. It overlooks the ocean, which you couldn't see when I first started the project because it was just so densely jungled. But now you're looking down on Keopuka Rock, which is notable for the movie Jurassic Park. When the helicopters are flying in across the water, they come past this little sea island as you approach the shore, and then they fly right up the valley that is my eastern boundary. And so you get a bird's eye view of that whole scene. But I love it there. The climate's it's absolutely lovely. It's always warm. You have a trade wind that blows, so the humidity, it's when there's no trades when you realize there's humidity there. But it's probably the most livable year-round climate on Earth.
You mentioned bird's eye view, and that had me envisioning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have some exotic birds and other creatures
that have
settled there.
Yeah, we started with a lot of different birds. We had all the different varieties of pheasants, and peacocks is one variety of a pheasant. And so we have the peacocks, and they run free. And then we have a bunch of different varieties of ducks. There was a time we had the macaws and the lovebirds and all the different things, but it's a lot to keep up with. And the birds really need a lot of love, a lot of attention, and a lot of care. So we've sort of let that aspect of the park go as the botanical aspects of it have improved. In the beginning, we needed help.
Any orchids?
Oh, lots of orchids, yeah. And the orchids there, we don't grow them in pots. We actually attach them to the trees. We put sphagnum moss on the trees, and then you can use coconut fiber or anything like that, and you tie the orchid generally into the crux of a couple of branches, and then they actually root right onto the tree. And so at any given time, you know, there's orchids in bloom throughout the park. They all have different blooming cycles.
I have been visiting, or I am visiting, with Alan Bradbury, creator of the Garden of Eden. How do you like that?
Well, so kind of you.
And that's on Maui. And the website is MauiGardenOfEden.com. And we all know Maui is M-A-U-I. MauiGardenOfEden.com. Alan, is there anything you'd like to add about the Garden of Eden?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say it all in a short period of time. You almost got to be there to appreciate it. But all the different smells, you know, so much of the fragrance, the fruit blossoms, the nutmeg trees. You can take a leaf from a nutmeg tree and set it on the dash of your car. And when you come back to your car after having, you know, gone away with the windows closed, your car just smells so beautiful. And then, we have allspice, and we cinnamon. We have so many of the different spice trees, and I really like the Polynesian introduced plants. The breadfruit is a wonderful, wonderful fruit. Most people eat it steamed before it ripens because it's more like a potato. It's really a substantive food, and if you let it get a little riper, it's more like a gooey pineapple, and very fragrant again with aroma. And then another tree that we have is the jackfruit, which has anywhere between a 30 and 60 pound fruit. It's absolutely huge. And they used
to
make...
That's incredible.
Yeah, it totally is. And it's what they made Juicy Fruit gum out of.
Really?
Yeah, it's got a real latex sort of sap to it. And when that fruit's ripe, you can smell Juicy Fruit gum 60 feet away.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's sticky. I don't like eating it because it's so sticky. You need to wear rubber gloves and put olive oil on your knife and everything. Just to keep it from being gummy, but it's a delicious aroma.
And what's the name of that fruit again?
Jackfruit.
Jackfruit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great little
anecdote. Yeah.
Okay, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, Alan is going to talk about his connection to Telluride and the wonderful garden he is creating here, the wonderful project. Be right back. Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Alan Bradbury, a longtime resident of Telluride, and we just talked about his time in Hawaii. He spends half of the year in Hawaii and lovingly takes care of the Maui Garden of Eden. And I would like to now talk about Alan's connection to Telluride. First, I have to say that music that I just had on, that was your music, Alan.
So true.
From Restore Our World
album.
Talk about that.
Well, the title of the album came from the little shop that used to be down on Main Street, Restore Our World. And I remember coming to town, having been away the winter prior, and coming back to that little shop on Main Street, and I thought that was just a fabulous name. I loved it, and I loved what it stood for. And when they closed down was about the time we were starting to record our album, and I asked those guys if it'd be all right if I used the name, and they said they'd be honored. So that's where the title of the album originated. It was not my concept, but I support it. And I've been in Telluride since 1975, and playing with my friends and buds here from the very beginning. And got to the point where I had written so many songs, there was a need to put a compilation together. And so I called people that I'd been playing with over the years, and got a great group of musicians together, and was able to record my favorite compositions. And that's where we came up with the music. And, I came up with the initial chord changes, but so much of the inspiration was from the people that I was working with.
And I'm sure the striking scenery here in the Rocky Mountains, and also you must have drawn from your inspiration in Hawaii as well.
Oh, yeah. The songs on the album were about half written here in Telluride and half written on Maui. The songs written in Maui have a little bit more of the New Age sound to it, where the songs written here in Telluride were much more, you know, jazz or progressive jazz oriented.
And that album is Restore Our World, and people can find out more about that at the website musicgardens.com.
.org.
.org.
Yeah,
thank
we're
you
an
for
org.
Correcting
yep.
me. I wrote down yep. com, but you did say org.
Because we are trying to promote sustainable lifestyles. And the album itself was entirely solar power recorded up on Hastings Mesa. And so much of what we do is goal-oriented towards living in a sustainable world.
Talk about the Utopia.
Utopia.
Utopia, okay, that you're creating up on Hastings Mesa.
Right.
Which, for those that aren't familiar with Hastings Mesa, it's a wonderful area just outside of Telluride.
Yeah, it's sort of between Sawpit and the Top of Dallas Divide. Last Dollar Road actually goes through Hastings Mesa when you go out towards Dallas Divide. But yeah, it's a beautiful place. I saw the property up there, I believe it was 1976, just driving by. There was this old homestead, and I just fell in love with it. And it took some doing, and a couple years later, I put a group of people together, and we purchased an entire 2,000-acre parcel. And out of that, I got the first pick, because it was sort of my project there, putting it together. And so I got this beautiful land with lots of springs. And this water is where the Ute Indians used to encamp in the summer months. When I first moved up to Hastings Mesa, it was, I guess, 1978, many of the homesteaders were still alive who had been born on Hastings Mesa in the early 1900s. And so I got a lot of history from those folks. And this particular valley that we are calling Utopia was where the Ute Indians would encamp for, you know, a good part of the summer. And so I wanted to keep some of their energy in the land. So Utopia seemed like an appropriate name. But we got a special use permit maybe 3 years ago from San Miguel County. And we have opened this as a little day park. Boot Doctors is the people to contact if you'd like to see it. We have a trail system that is very diversified. A local who most people are familiar with, John Sir Jesse, said it was one of the most diversified ecosystems that he's seen in the entire region. And I think a lot of that is because of the amount of water that we have on the property. And we still have several of the little spring pools that were dug out by the Ute Indians when they used to live up in these hills. And we've tried to improve upon some of them. And we have some beautiful trout ponds. And Boot Doctors are the guides who bring people in. And it's just so joyful to listen to the children laughing as they're catching perhaps their first fish. In fact, many children catch their first trout, or first fish for that matter, up at our ponds. And we can hear the laughter and the joyfulness from our house. So it's a really rewarding experience. And then getting down in the park itself to listen to the guides talking to the people about the different plants and things is, you know, it brings a lot of satisfaction to me, because it's all about becoming aware of our ecosystem and what we can do to be more a part of it more than apart from it. And I think we could get into philosophy here, but I think it's real important that we all try to give back to this planet as much as we take. And that's a difficult thing to do, but it certainly can be done.
And at this point, you have 2 miles worth of trails?
We have over 2 miles of trails. Not all of it is in our special use permit area. And there was an issue with neighbors feeling that people were, you know, crossing onto their property, there might be problems, but we're eliminating a lot of those concerns, and we have better understandings with our neighbors now, and there may be a time when it's appropriate to expand the zone of what we're offering. But right now, we've got about a mile of trail work, and several different trout ponds. And it's just a very, very beautiful, you know, naturally manicured forest area. A lot of big aspen trees, firs and spruce. And
I like that term, naturally manicured.
Yeah.
And it's very accurate because I was delighted to discover it myself when you brought me down there. And I just felt that it was heavenly. And all naturally done, yet very walkable and enjoyable.
Yeah, well, it's not too often you find a place where you can take a riding lawnmower through a forest.
I know, I'm still amazed as to how you did that. And apparently you're spreading your seed as you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're very much into native grass species and high-protein feeds. We like to sustain the wildlife that exists in the area. And yeah, we're experimenting all the time with different plants. And, you know, you can grow things that people say you can't grow. And I think a lot of time it's the love.
Okay. And that is Utopia.
Yeah.
Utopia. And I'm sure there will be a website soon for that.
We're working on it.
You're working on that. But right now, people can contact bootdoctors.com, and that takes place during the spring, summer, fall season.
Exactly. Yeah,
yes, we're not open in the winter. Pretty snowed in.
Come to Maui.
Go to Maui in the winter. And is there anything else you'd like to share about that wonderful space up on Hastings Mesa?
Well, I like to think that some of these projects will inspire people to work with their property a little more intimately. If people see what we've done with some of this terrain, I think it will give them ideas what they can do with their own land. Many people out here on the mesas, you know, they have land that's rather steep and rugged, and it looks a little forbidden to get down in there. But a proper trail system will greatly enhance any property. And so that's what this is all about, hoping that we can inspire people and give people some good memories.
Okay. One thing I'd like us to just share a few thoughts on, Alan, is this incredible connection between Hawaii and the Rockies. It has been almost 10 years that I've lived in Colorado, and I have met so many people from the Rockies, whether it's Telluride, Pagosa Springs, Colorado Springs, other places throughout Colorado, and they happen to spend a lot of time in Hawaii as well.
It's true.
And to me, I think maybe the connection is the striking scenery. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, if Telluride had a climate like Maui year-round, I'd never go anywhere else. But truly, it's a long winter here, and I think a lot of people do get a little antsy, especially in the springtime when you have mud season and all that. It's nice to get away. So I think that's the major stimulus. But the natural beauty of both places is striking. It's completely 180-degree opposite. You're low and humid, or sea level and humid, to high and dry.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds. I have been visiting with Alan Bradbury, and check out the website, MauiGardenOfEden.com. Alan, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And I am going to be posting this interview as a podcast on my blog, and that's BonjourColorado.com. So I'll get that up there, and you can read about Alan, and also see some beautiful photos of his garden. That's BonjourColorado.com. Alan, thanks again.
Thank you. Aloha. And a hui ho.
Okay, I was going to say, do we say aloha?
We do.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.